Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to ask the question, what does the Bible say about going to church? You might think, are there right and wrong ways to go to church? Well, I know that when we are at the gym sometimes and we want to encourage somebody who thinks that they're having a bad workout, we might say, hey, you did the hard part. You just showed up. You didn't stay home and binge watch that show and eat a bunch of junk food. You came to the gym. Good things are going to happen, even if it's not the greatest workout. Well, is church like that? Is there a sense which just show up is enough? Maybe you get there a few minutes late. Maybe you had a little bit of a chaotic morning, but you made it and you found your seats and you got your family in there and settled in and you kind of watch the show. You sing along, you pray along, you listen to the message, maybe even throw some money in the plate or the offering box, whatever your church does to collect the offering. And then you kind of get out of there to beat the crowd to the restaurant. And you kind of think, I did it. I showed up. And I want to challenge you to think that there is more to a New Testament church experience than just showing up. And to get there, we want to consider the one another commands of the New Testament. Now, some people have said there's about 55 different one another commands in the New Testament. Now, there's one Greek word that's translated into the two English words, one another, and we want to look at that. But these commands, you know, you're familiar with them, like love one another or encourage one another. They require an interconnectedness of people in the church family. And that's what we want to think about today. Because if you just show up, you are not necessarily fulfilling this interconnected relationship of the body of Christ. I want us to start with the book of Hebrews. There's a one another command, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So I have to say that this command is got a relational component to it that requires more than just attending the show. It says that we are to exhort one another every day. You're not exhorting by just sitting there watching. You're not exhorting if you're just spectating. Now, let's step back and consider the context of Hebrews. The Hebrews, it's a little difficult to create the exact scenario, but we can kind of piece together from what we see in this letter what was going on. This seems to be a group of people from a Jewish background that hear the gospel and respond positively. In other words, an evangelist comes and tells them about Jesus, specifically how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of their Old Testament hopes and what was prophesied. He is the Messiah that was to come. He is who fulfills all of the pictures in the Old Testament. They made a profession of faith. They said, yes, we believe this. That's great. We're in. And I understand that they're probably in Italy, maybe even near Rome. Now, at this time, Judaism was still legal in the Roman Empire, but Christianity was seen to be a sect. It was not legal, and therefore persecution could come. And I think that that's what happened to these Hebrew professing believers. The persecution started to come and the heat started getting turned up. Maybe they lost jobs. Maybe some were sent to jail and separated from their families. And this just did not seem to be good at all. So the solution that some of the Hebrews came to was, let's go back to Judaism. Judaism is still legal. We're still worshiping God. It's the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's just kind of not talk about Messiah anymore. Let's not talk about Jesus. Let's just go back to Judaism. So the author of Hebrews was very alarmed about this and wrote them this letter. There are two major things going on in the book of Hebrews. One of them is that author is trying to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of all things Judaism. Jesus is better. You had Moses in the Old Testament, but Jesus is better. You had high priests in the Old Testament, but Jesus is better. He's the ultimate high priest. He's better than any of the animal sacrifices that had to be repeatedly offered. He is the once for all final sacrifice that literally takes away our sins. Therefore, you can't go backwards. That's apostasy. That is going to a different religion away from Christianity. So the author of Hebrews addresses them and shows them how great Jesus is. But secondly, he also warns them. And the book of Hebrews has some of the strongest words of warning in the entire Bible. In fact, right before the verse that I highlighted in Hebrews 3:13 comes one of those little warnings. It's not one of the big ones, but listen to this. He says in Hebrews 3:12, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Wow, that's what the author of Hebrews was concerned about for his friends. You are falling away. You are in danger. Take care. And so then right after that comes our verse, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We need each other. He knew that if they were just attending a church service, that would not be enough to keep them in the faith. They needed people in their lives, and they needed to participate in exhorting and encouraging each other in the church family. And I hope you can see that this is a command that requires a two-way relationship. You have to do some exhorting and encouraging, and they have to do some exhorting and encouraging. And that requires us to not be mere spectators, but to be participants in church. So that's really important. I look at this verse as well. It gives this such an important reason for doing this one another exhortation, is that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is tricky. We live in a tricky world. We don't know right from wrong sometimes. We think we do. But Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can know it? This verse says our hearts are deceitful. They harden up on us. The picture I think of is when I was in art class in elementary school, and the teacher would give us this lump of clay, and you had to kind of keep working the clay to get it into the shape that you wanted it to be. And you're, your glorious work of art there. And you knew what happened the next day. If you had left that to dry out, it would be hard as a rock. So what you had to do to keep the clay soft was to work water in it and to keep working it around with your fingers. And that required effort to keep that clay soft so that you could keep working it into the shape that it needed to be. Your heart is like that modeling clay drying out. And when you get involved with each other's lives, that's like pouring the water of God's truth. And you work it in through personal relationships with each other. Do you have those kinds of relationships with brothers and sisters at your church? You know, you don't get them if you just show up late and take off as soon as it's over. Those deep relationships don't happen. I think that if we really were aware of and just in tune with the fact that our hearts are in such a dangerous place in these trying times, we would see the preciousness of the church more than we ever do. Well, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to look at some other one another commands in the scripture to understand how we can be vitally involved in our New Testament church experience.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment, who's been talking about getting plugged in at church. That reminds me of something that I read in Dr. Jerry Bridges' book, The Practice of Godliness, which is available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Dr. Bridges talks about how godliness is not just about personal piety, but it's actively loving and serving others in the body of Christ. Isn't that what we're striving for as Christians? Just this impactful, vibrant faith that honors the Lord. Dr. Bridges goes on to show how godly character impacts how we relate to God, how we relate to ourselves, and how we relate to those people around us. And if you want to go deeper in your walk with Christ and live out your faith, I recommend The Practice of Godliness from Dr. Jerry Bridges. Again, it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of going deeper, listen, I know we are all bombarded with emails, subscriptions, and newsletters and things you didn't even sign up for. But this is not just another thing that's going to clutter up your inbox. As a Fortis Insider, what you're going to get is exclusive, daily, biblically grounded content that will help you navigate this crazy world that we're living in from a biblical Christian perspective. We've brought in 8 new voices like Dr. John Crotts. These are pastors, these are theologians and counselors, and they're bringing fresh perspective and insights on applying God's truth to this brave new world we're living in. And the best part? It's absolutely free. That's right. We're not trying to nickel and dime you and charge you monthly subscription fees. That's not what this is about. This is about equipping you to stand firm in your faith and live boldly for Christ. So head over to fortisinstitute.org right now and sign up to become a Fortis Insider. And I do want to mention that none of this is possible without many of you. Those of you that are gospel partners, well, we're able to do the work that we're doing because of the work that you've been doing. Your partnership and your belief in us has given us the ability to help equip Christians with solid biblical teaching. And if you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? If you're giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, we would love for you to hop on board and join us as a Fortis Institute gospel partner. And help us to continue producing resources and reaching people with the truth of God's word. All of the details found right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, well, that's enough for me. Let's get back to our discussion on really engaging at church and living out those one another commands with Dr. John Crotts. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Today on Integrated, we have been considering going to church, right ways and wrong ways to do that. And one of the important considerations from God's word that we've seen today is that there are 55 unique one another commands in Scripture. Commands that you cannot obey if you don't have relationships with others in the context of the church. Do you know what the command is to go to church? I call it the go to church verse. Do you know where that verse is? It's actually also in the book of Hebrews, and it's found in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. As we read them, I want you to listen carefully to notice that there are two more one another commands in the go to church verse, which is really two verses, but you'll understand what I mean when I read them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Did you find the two one another commands in these verses? The first one is to stir up one another, and the second one is to encourage one another in verse 25. When I think of the command to stir up one another, it reminds me of a snake and poking a snake with a stick. So just imagine walking along a path, you see a snake, and you decide, I'm going to poke that snake with my stick, even though the snake is just minding his business alongside of the path. You decide to poke him, and that makes the snake irritated, and he starts thinking about striking back or whatever snakes do when they get poked by sticks. I don't know. I try to stay away from snakes myself, but maybe you're a snake poker. But this verse, the picture that comes to my mind when I read Hebrews 10:24, is like that snake being poked. Let us consider how to stir up one another. So when you come to church, you don't just come to sit, you also come to poke. But what are we trying to poke? What are we trying to provoke in each other at church? It says we are to stir up one another to love and to good works. You know, Christians are called to love each other. That's huge. But let's be honest, the opposite of love is not hate, it's selfishness. And we are all selfish. And you know it, and I know it. We just get thinking about ourselves. We're not thinking about other people. And we need a brother or sister to come and give us a little poke every now and then to remind us, oh, it's not all about me. I ought to be seeking to meet the needs of others. That's provoking one another to love. We could also provoke one another to good works. Just get over yourself. Not only have loving compassion for others, but literally meet their needs. Sacrifice of yourself to do good to others. That's part of the job of you when you come to church, to provoke me to love and good works. And part of my job is to provoke you to the same. And then we see in verse 25, there's the command, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You remember we gave a little bit of the context that the persecution was coming to the Hebrews. And it was tempting to not show up to church. We knew that persecution is happening. Boy, we know our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world today, there's a cost to showing up to church. And you say, I'm fine. I believe in Jesus. I'm just going to sit home on my couch and maybe even listen to a podcast. And I'll call that church. Well, we are brokenhearted for the challenge of our brothers and sisters in such situations. But here, the Bible could not be clearer. We need to gather. Obviously, we use wisdom, but in a situation that most of us experience, we have freedom to gather. We just need to get there. And when we gather, we need to be not just spectating, but actually acting it out, performing and provoking. And it goes on to say in verse 25, to encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, we need to encourage each other. Everybody gets down. Everybody has something in their backpack. You can just visually imagine people showing up to church with their backpacks. And it's full of stuff. It's full of the stuff of the week. Their minds are full of what's in their backpack. Well, what's in their backpack? Well, how are you going to know unless you ask them to open it up and to share with you? And what you're going to find is that they need some encouragement. Just about every one of us every week could use some encouragement, not just a pat on the head, but a word from the Bible that would lift our spirit and keep us going, to remind us of the hope that we have because we're putting our theology into practice. We're integrating it into our lives. And so not only does that encourage me, but it gives me something to encourage my brother or sister at church as well. A lot of times people come to me as the pastor and they're like, oh, pastor, I need a ministry at church. And one of the things I say to them is to look around. Look at who's sitting in front of you. Look at who's sitting beside you. Look at who's sitting behind you. Look at who you run into in the hallway. Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them. You know, there's a lot of other commands that are these one another commands in the New Testament. What are some examples of those? You're very familiar with them as you think about it. Think of Jesus' words about loving one another. He even says in John 13, they'll know you're disciples of mine by your love for one another. We're also called to admonish one another, to care for one another, to comfort one another, to serve one another, to bear with one another in love, to speak the truth to one another, to forgive one another, to build each other up, and many more. How's that going to happen? How do you know who needs what? I mean, if you think about it, not everybody needs to be admonished every single week. You might think, I have the gift of hammer and everybody around me is a nail. So I will come to church and hammer away at all of those nails around me. Well, it's so much better to think of it as going to a doctor, and you might have a special situation that requires a special medication. Well, which medicine do you need? Well, that's why the doctor will do tests. That's why the doctor will ask diagnostic questions to try to figure out how to best serve you. And as we gather with our brothers and sisters, what do they need? Well, the way we find out is by asking questions, listening well to their answers. Don't just ask the surface things, but see if you can get below the surface and listen to what they're saying. Don't race to your next point, but think about what they have to say. Pray together. Certainly, you want to be praying for your brothers and sisters throughout the week, but you could pray right there in the gathering of the church. I think it's so special when I see people huddled together having small prayer before or after the gatherings of our church. I think it's also so good to share what God is teaching you from the Bible. You know, God comforts you so that you can comfort others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the same is true with all of these one another's. What is God teaching you? And who is your brother or sister who could use that very truth for their life today? So I want to encourage you, come a little early so that you can rub shoulders with the people who are there. Stay a little bit late if you can. Don't race off to the restaurant as fast as you can, but instead try to have a great conversation. Hey, I know that you can't do that every week. I know that you're scrambling. I think about you, young mom with your kids, and you think, do I get anything out of it at all? Let me just commend you for trying and doing your best. But I hope and pray that you could do your little bit to encourage another sister in the Lord. Church may be a show after all, But let me tell you, you're not there to watch as a spectator. You're on the stage. You come to be part of the show. God, our Father, is our spectator. He's the one who's watching. We serve one another for His glory. The Bible says that we're not just to be hearers of God's word, but we are to be doers of God's word. So go do God's word this week.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.